Update, brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Fast away, good evening, it's 5:30. This is Update for Wednesday, 31st of May, 2023 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news here on the Isle of Man. And background to that news and sport and business and Sea Watch and travel updates and the newsmakers in person. This evening, three caught bringing drugs to the island. Peel's Riot alien housing estate will be demolished. Is this new style TT working? We got the view from Laxey campsite. Rundown properties should pay rates, says Jason Morehouse, MHK. And should we have a train service to the airport?
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Siobhan Fletcher.
Fastamai. Police are asking for the public's help in locating a man who is currently missing, saying they have concerns for his welfare. They haven't named him, but have issued a photograph of him on social media. You can get all the details at manxradio.com. Meanwhile, police are dealing with an ongoing incident in Douglas. Armed officers are on the scene on Lower Dukes Road. The Isle of Man Constabulary says it will issue a media release in due course. And the mountain section of the TT course is now closed. The rest of roads are due to close at 6 p.m. ahead of tonight's third qualifying session. Further afield, Boris Johnson says all material requested by the COVID inquiry, including WhatsApp messages and notebooks, have been handed over to the government in full. The ex-Prime Minister says the Cabinet Office has had access to the material for several months and has urged it be disclosed to the inquiry. Thousands of people in England could soon be able to access a new migraine pill on the NHS. The drug has been recommended for use to NHS England, where other treatments have failed. And a US court will hear a challenge over Prince Harry's American visa next week after he admitted to previously using drugs in his autobiography. A think tank in the States is demanding his immigration records be released. There are your headlines, news at 6.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramayad, thank you, Siobhan, from the Ronalds Way Met Office. No wind warning in operation for the North Irish Sea. State of sea is smooth or slight. And the weather, very nice. Late sunshine, light winds. Daylight maximum was 20. We're down to 11 through the night. And for Jerdain, tomorrow, Thursday, a bit cloudier than today. We're still with sunny intervals and light winds, 21 degrees. And overnight minimum 11 into Friday. Jehenya will be dry with sunny spells. Again, just that light breeze and 21 Celsius. Sunsets tonight, 21 minutes before 10. High water, 4 minutes before 10. Low tide, 16 minutes after 4 a.m. Sunrise, 7 minutes before 5. And the morning high tide at 6 minutes past 10.
The Manx Glass and Glazing showroom will be closed for TT from the 2nd of June. Reopening on Monday the 12th of June.
Three people who were caught trying to bring drugs into the Isle of Man were arrested yesterday. Police say they were caught as part of Operation Fortress, which works to secure the Isle of Man's ports. From the Constabulary, Louise Kenyuk.
Yesterday, we continued, as we do throughout TT week and indeed the year, with Operation Fortress. That's ports checks. Officers at the ports, the boats, the planes, checking vehicles when they're coming in and indeed going out. I believe we stopped three people and they had a quantity of drugs on them. So they were arrested, as we will do, and put straight to court today. We have zero tolerance to people bringing controlled items like that into the island. We're keeping our borders secure and our people safe.
Were these the first arrests?
Not the first arrest of TT, shall we say, because it's really hard if you to quantify statistics and where we start the arrests and so, but there's certainly the first few recent ones where it's people coming in, bringing things with them, thinking it's for, you know, to use, and it's this isn't what's going to happen. We've put it on social media. We tell people, putting that message across, come to the island, have fun, but do not commit crimes. The stern message is, as it is, our laws are the same as the UK pretty much. We have some slight alterations, shall we say, but we do not suffer and we do not allow people to commit crimes on the island, to bring items they shouldn't, because it's about being here, enjoying yourself, being safe and just listening to what we try and say so everyone can have a good time, but zero tolerance. If you're coming to the island in your vehicles, your bikes, have your licence, have your insurance, check it's right, check it's in day, date, because we will again be checking people. And if you fall foul of the law, you will go to court, likely, and also you'll not be able to use your motor vehicles on the island. So you'll have a bit of use of public transport, which is great for the island, but just think about being legal and staying legal.
An MHK says owners of rundown buildings should no longer have their rate payments suspended. The Arbury Castle Town and Maloo MHK Jason Morehouse is putting a motion in Tynwald to make owners pay higher rates on properties that are uninhabitable. He's suggesting an increase of 20% compounded to try and encourage homeowners of dilapidated houses to renovate.
It's a solution that is doable, and it's actually got a cost involved, so the people who've got property are going to think, oh, this is worth doing. And it's also getting rid of that issue within the neighbourhood. It's not a common problem in Arbury Castle Town and Maloo, but it's an ongoing one, and it's one I'm probably contacted at least every 4 or 5 weeks about. And it's made especially frustrating if you've got an empty house or other building that is looking unattractive and potentially dangerous, and then the owners ask for their rates to be removed. You think, oh, this is especially bad because you've got something in the community which is negative, and in a way you're benefiting because you're having to contribute back to the community. So I thought, as a starter, this motion has a lot of positive. You know, Chris Thomas has spoken frequently about these 6,000 empty houses out there and getting them back into usage, and this looks like one way of getting many of them there, especially the worst ones that upset and offend people. The commissioners are kind of despairing to do all the work, and then up comes the letter from the Treasury saying that from the 1st of April, whenever, this owner will no longer be paying rates. And it comes down to basically because she can't actually live in that house, it's not habitable. And why isn't it habitable? It's because it's been left for so long, or they've actually taken action to make it unhabitable. If I've got someone complaining about a building, and at the same time the building's owners are just saying, well, we maintain it in a safe way, but they're not contributing to the community the rates payments, something's wrong and needs to be looked at.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates.
Peel commissioners will demolish the Riot Alien housing estate. The new chair of the commissioners, Hazel Hannon, says the local authority had a great deal of concern over it, but believes it's for the best. Hazel Hannon speaks to our local democracy reporter, Emma Draper.
Well, there are some things that are out of our hands completely, which the sewerage is one, and it's now actually looks as if it's going to be taking place in their proposed site. Obviously, you've got to have planning, and it's going to be a long way yet to go before it's final. But I'm ever hopeful that that's where it'll be, and we'll be able to treat sewerage, and we'll have a wonderful bay again. We have a lot of social housing in Peel, and we have one particular estate which has got serious issues, and we have decided, whether it will happen or not, we have decided that we would like to see them demolished and rebuilt, because they're about 30 years old, and it's a great deal of concern for us that this has happened to the people that are living there. But we need to make sure that places are satisfactory for people to live a healthy life, and this is what they haven't got at the moment. We have been doing quite a lot of work on climate change. Some people think that we, you know, we're only small, but one little bit adds up to another little bit, and it all makes a big pond at the end. And so we're all doing our bit, and we're trying to do rewilding as well. And so it's changing the attitudes and our policy too to the wider environment.
Ronalds Way Airport is currently served by the Isle of Man's bus network as well as taxis, while some passengers choose to drive to the airport. But could a rail service be added to give passengers more options? Here's Infrastructure Minister Chris Thomas and Airport Director Gary Cobb.
Surface access is a big part of an airport, so how you get passengers to an airport and how you get passengers from. Resilience in a system is always quite good, so having an additional way of getting passengers there is better should something happen from the roads. In terms of climate change and green, electric is better than cars. So again, from a carbon neutrality point of which the airport will be measured in terms of its scope 3 emissions, anything that we can do to swing the dial in that direction would be a plus.
Could you foresee that in the future, Chris Thomas?
It's not currently part of our master plan and won't be for some time, but our focus would have to be that we have really good buses on the Isle of Man. So lots of the hotels along the promenade have a lot of their customers actually coming straight out, getting on a bus stop outside their house, and they're every 20 minutes they're down at the airport on a pretty reliable service that's working reliably this year, as the directors and the staff promised me it would. And we've also got Sistra looking at our heritage rail network, and one of their objectives is to give us a report back on people commuting use, airport use, freight use, and I'm looking forward to Sistra. So to me it seems very, very unlikely, but my focus at the moment is making sure we've got the right passenger access on buses, we've got the right car parking arrangements, and we've got taxis that work for people, because we do get a lot of queries and complaints even about taxi availability, and that's something that I know Gary's been working on that.
Sea-Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Mothership Ben McCree departed Isham at 28 minutes before 3. She'll be with us in the next 20-25 minutes or so, departing this evening from Douglas at 7:30, heading to Belfast, getting there just after midnight, departing Belfast at 2:30, back to Douglas at 7 tomorrow morning. And the Ben McCree heads to Heysham at 8:45 tomorrow morning from Douglas. Manannan, meantime, was in Liverpool, headed there this afternoon. She left Liverpool about 40 minutes ago, will be in Douglas at 8 o'clock tonight. Departing Douglas at 9:30, departing Liverpool at 2:20 a.m. back to Douglas at 5:20 tomorrow morning. Zipping over to Heysham and leaving Heysham at 10 tomorrow morning, back to Douglas at 12:30.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
The new format for the TT appears to have been reflected in when fans are coming to the Isle of Man. This is Mike from Laxey Campsite.
Overall, this year our numbers are pretty much identical to last year. But what's happened in the first week, the practice week, numbers are down, and then those numbers go up, you know, back to where they were for the second week.
Have you talked to people and asked them why they've changed their habits?
Well, not really, no, because obviously until we get into that second week. But what we, you know, just looking at our numbers, we're 175 less campers between Thursday and Thursday than last year, and yet we get those numbers back in the second week.
Does that give you a problem in your operation, because obviously you're keyed up differently than you would be now?
Yeah, it's more you know, us getting our volunteers lined up, because everybody's volunteers on there, and you know, making sure you've got the right people there at the right time. Obviously the catering guy would prefer it more spread out, but apart from that, you know, I think it's just an interesting shift that we've not seen before.
In the meantime, the weather makes a lot of difference.
Oh, they're very happy at the moment, that's for sure.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
It's 17 minutes before 6. Prudential, the British multinational insurance company's lost ground. As it said, the chief financial officer, James Turner, has resigned due to an investigation into his conduct relating to a recent recruitment situation. The company said Mr. Turner had fallen short of the high standards the group sets itself. For a full daily market report, go to RamseyCrookall.com. Air New Zealand is weighing passengers before they board international flights as part of a survey to determine the average weight of a passenger. The weight will be anonymously recorded in a database and not visible to airline staff or anybody else. Air New Zealand said knowing average passenger weight would improve fuel efficiency in the future, and participation in the survey is voluntary. The airline previously weighed domestic passengers in New Zealand in 2021. Before the pandemic, the airline flew more than 17 million passengers every year with 3,500 flights a week. Air New Zealand said knowing the weight of everything that goes onto an aircraft is a regulatory requirement and will help the flight be safe and efficient.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stock markets were lower as jitters remained over the US debt ceiling. US stocks were lower as investors kept a watchful eye on that debt limit deal. Oil fell on the stronger US dollar and gold price higher. The numbers now from Ramsey Crookall at the close in London. The FTSE 100 down 1% at 7,446. The DAX tax in Frankfurt, down 1.6% at the close at 15,649. The Dow Jones Industrial in New York a short time ago, 0.8% down at 32,780. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index down 0.9% at 12,905. And the S&P 500 down 0.9% in Chicago at 4,169. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling trading at $1.24, €1, 16.3 cents, and 24 South African rand, 50.5 cents. In commodities, gold's up nearly 0.7% at $1,972 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down 0.5% at $73.39.
You've got an investment plan?
Yeah, Mike set it up.
But don't you need loads of money to do that?
Not this one. It's called Shearwater from Ramsay Crook Hall, and you pay in monthly as little as £100. So it's like saving regularly, really helping us invest in the future. For a house, well, the kids' education.
£100 a month? I could easily do that.
You should. The sooner you start, the better.
Invest in your future with as little as £100 a month. Shearwater from Ramsay Crook Hall, the island's investment specialist for 75 years. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookhall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Motorcycling legend John McGuinness says he was happy to take time out of his schedule to meet with two avid TT fans at the Isle of Man Hospice last week. The 23-time winner visited the medical facility in Braddon to spend time with Graham Whittaker and Ian Gardner. The story from Tessa Hawley.
Both men are impatient at the hospice, with the staff there saying the TT racer's visit had helped make their wishes come true. In a post which was widely shared on social media, the hospice team said it was truly amazed that the Morecambe Missile had given up his time, considering how busy he was. And on the first day of practice at TT 2023, McGuinness said he was hopeful the two men may now get a chance to see some racing.
You know, you can't say no, can you? You know, they've been involved in touch with the organisers, and we spoke about it, and yeah, we will go and see them. You know, the couple of boys there, great crack, you know. I sat down and he had a load of pictures throughout TT history going back a long way, and there's a real interesting picture in with the original Honda team from 1959. He was one of the boys, stood with Naomi Taniguchi, so stuff like that I'm super interested in. So we had a good old yarn, and you know, at half an hour with one of the guys, and then apparently it's the first time he stood up for ages as well. So, you know, if we've done something to make somebody happy, then I've done my job. And it's only my time. My time's free at the minute. When I was over here, I had a real nice chill couple of days here, and I saw another boy there, and I hope they're listening, but they're going to try and get to the Joey Dunlop Foundation. They're going to wedge him on the balcony in the chairs, and then hopefully they'll get to see some racing, you know, so, or some practice at least.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690-300. Manx Radio Sport.
Vastamai, our sports editor, Rob Pritchard.
Vastamai, good evening. Starting with motorsport, a Manx sidecar racer Harry Payne and teammate Kevin Rousseau have extended their advantage in the French Sidecar Championship following the third round of the series. Both travelled to the south of France last weekend for the latest stage of the competition and secured a place on the front row in second in qualifying, despite it being Payne's first visit to the circuit. Payne and Rousseau took first place in the first race on Saturday and the first race on Sunday, before finishing second in the final Sunday contest. Payne and Rousseau have now built up a 38-point lead in the championship following their weekend performance. However, Payne says it's likely this will be their last round in the series as they look to focus on the World Championship, adding, "Unfortunately, we just don't have the financial backing to do both." In cricket, the Isle of Man is set to host an international cricket series for the first time ever this summer. Isle of Man cricket will host Austria as part of an international T20I bilateral series to be played on the 9th and 10th of July at King William's College. Austria will travel to Manx Shores to be involved as part of their preparations for their men's T20 World Cup Europe qualifier against Scotland, which will be held during the same month. The first two games between the Isle of Man and Austria will take place on the Sunday at 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. The third match will be held the next day at 12 p.m. And in athletics, Manx athlete Rachel Franklin managed a top three finish whilst competing in long distance running in the UK at the weekend. At the latest round of the British Milers Club calendar in Manchester on Saturday, Franklin took part in the women's 5,000 metre A race held at Sports City. The Ireland competitor went on to finish third in a time of 15 minutes 57.05 seconds, just 7 seconds off the time of the race winner Callie Thackeray. As well as breaking the 16 minute barrier with her performance, Franklin's time is also 4.43 seconds better than her previous best set in 2022.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Inbound at Ronald's Way, the 525 Loganair from Manchester came in 20 minutes or so early. Next inbound, it's the 10-8 Loganair from London City, the 5-8 Loganair returning patient transfer plane from Liverpool, and scheduled on time tonight, the 25-9 EasyJet from London Gatwick. Just two departures tonight, the 6 o'clock Loganair off to Liverpool and the 9:05 returning EasyJet to London Gatwick. On the roads, cycling is prohibited on the mountain during the TT period. I feel I have to keep telling you that, but I'm sure everybody knows it. And remember, the roads close tonight fully at 6 o'clock for practicing throughout the evening. In Port Erin, you've got delays likely. There's a four-way traffic signal confluence at the Battle of Fesson Road to install a new pedestrian crossing. In Jerby, the Ballymena Road's got phase closures for water main replacement. And, of course, for all your guidance and information, there's a comprehensive summary of all travel news and issues on the Isle of Man for trains, planes, boats, buses and roadworks at manxradio.com. And via the Community tab, a page of links to all the webcams we have across the Isle of Man.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
A new civic amenity site opening next month on budget in Braddon. The development's a joint effort between five local authorities, Douglas Council, Braddon, Onchan, Santon and Garth commissioners. Here's our local democracy reporter, Emma Draper.
The new site is opening on 29th of June and is scheduled to be on budget at £3 million and on time. The development is next to the Energy from Waste plant and is publicly owned and operated by a board made up of representatives from the five eastern local authorities, Douglas Council, Onchan, Braddon, Santon and Garth commissioners. It will provide recycling and has improved facilities to those at the current site, including a much larger reuse area, skips and parking facilities. It will also have space for disposal of domestic waste that cannot be recycled or reused. Building of the new site began in August 2022 after the current site in Pullrose was deemed to be approaching maximum capacity. The final day of operation at the current amenity site will be Sunday 25th of June. There will be no service in Douglas for 3 days to allow staff to relocate all remaining equipment before opening the new amenity site to the public at 8 a.m. on Thursday 29th of June. All other amenity sites around the island will remain open at this time.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wind.
Efforts are underway to stop TT racers sustaining issues which could hinder their riding over the next fortnight. Manx physiotherapist Isla Scott's been working with the riders at the grandstand for the last 17 years. And she told Radio TT she's passionate about keeping them safe when the roads turn into a racetrack.
So we do taping, we do soft tissue work, all general physio, anything to keep them, you know, keep them operational and out there on the track.
I see a steady line of riders before any racing starts, before any qualifying starts. What are you doing to their hands?
So we use a blister anti-blister system that we've learned in the World Superbikes, and we tape the top of their hand and it stops them getting blisters. So when we first started in the paddock, they used to have horrendous blister problems and people would tear the whole hand over the course of the fortnight, and we just don't see that anymore. So it's become more and more popular. So rather than chasing issues, we try and stop them before they start, basically.
So Isla, we're just talking about the tape that goes all the way up the rider's arms. What's that doing?
So the arm pump's a really big problem at the TT. We've been working on it really hard over the years to try and mitigate the problems. And they get pain in their forearms so much so that sometimes it's actually hard to hang on. That thankfully doesn't happen anymore. The taping is a system we've developed over the years, and it's been really successful. But we use other techniques as well to try and, you know, we look at the bike setup, we look at any sort of musculoskeletal problems and try and resolve them over the week. So the arm pump is a big part of what we do.
And when they got off the bike, I mean, it's no mean feat, is it, going around 37¾ miles? What sort of physical symptoms were they likely to be experiencing?
So arm pump's a biggie, and neck pain is a biggie, back pain's a biggie. We also see one thing very specific to the TT is what we call hip nip. So basically, as the guys go up and down bike sizes and they're very cramped up and then they're open out in different positions, their hips can get very, it can be hard just to move.
Well, so far, unlike previous years, we've had glorious sunshine for the start of TT, but how difficult is it to predict the weather during one of the island's biggest fortnights of the year? From the Isle of Man Met Office at Ronald's Way, Adrian Cowan.
I look forward to it in a strange sort of trepidatious sort of way, in that it's exciting times for the office, high workload, an increased workload, and we're always looking over the horizon and wonder how unsettled it's going to be, and making sure that the likes of myself is available to support colleagues on the bad days, the busy days. My colleagues will be doing the duty forecasting. I'm doing some as well, which is great. It keeps my hand in, and they're trying to do their best to keep people safe on the island for the racing, for the practice. And our primary job is still Isle of Man Airport. So all the things we normally do have to be done, and in addition, the extra workload for TT, advising the organisers and the clerk of the course. It's a great package. It's an exciting time. We are in the middle of the Irish Sea, a little lump of rock, and sometimes, despite our best attempts, our experience and the best models we look at, something of a blip comes along in the airflow. The weather pattern changes very, very slightly, but the impact on the Isle of Man, especially for the TT, can be great, because our little lump of rock is a lumpy rock, and so we vary in height from sea level all the way up to the top of the mountain course in Snaefell, and that's quite a range of variability in height. And then we add in the mix of the variability, the difference between the south, the north, the west and the east, and it's a long course that varies around the Isle of Man, and there can always be a blip.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news team. Thanks to newsreader Siobhan Fletcher, producer Rhiann Evans. Stick around after the news at 6 o'clock. It's our arts programme, Spotlight, with Howie Kane. Tom Kane's on with the greatest hits at 6:30. The Opera Hour with Ernie Thorne at 9 o'clock. And Rhiann with After Hours from 10 tonight. Just got a quick word about some found property. I'll just tell you, a quantity of money was found on Groudle Road last Monday. On Monday of this week. If you think that was your money and you lost it on Groudle Road, the person has still got it. If you can identify the amount of money and yourself, then it will be returned. Telephone number is 432-681, 432-681. If you lost some money on Groudle Road on Monday of this week. That's it. Update returns tomorrow at 5:30. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. WINT